Take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at verse 21 today as we look at Jacob and the family blessing as we continue on in our series, Unshakable Faith in Uncertain Times. Now, what we have discovered so far in our series is we've discovered the fact that everyone that is listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they all lived in very difficult and uncertain times, and yet their faith did not fail. They continued strong in the faith, and they continued on in their relationship with God. And so we find here today, as we continue on with our series out of Hebrews chapter 11, and our series on unshakable faith in uncertain times, verse 21 says this, "By faith, Jacob." Now, I believe that by now you've come to realize that every time we find a name that is listed in Hebrews chapter 11, each and every time, it tells us their actions were on the basis of faith. So we find here, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, that is when he realized he did not have much time left, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. As he was growing old and realizing his moments, his days were numbered, very weak in body, the Bible tells us that he chose here to bless the generation that was upcoming. He's going to bless his grandsons. And we'll look at that in just a few moments' time. But I want you to see here how he is jumping to the upcoming generation. He believes that the upcoming generation is going to be as important or more important than the current generation, which would be his 12 sons. And so he pauses now before he blesses his 12 sons and he blesses his grandchildren. The blessing that Jacob gave then to Manasseh and to Ephraim, which were his grandsons by Joseph, is recorded in the very last verses found in Genesis chapter 48. And again, like in the account of Jacob and Esau, which we looked at last week, the younger, which is Ephraim, received the greater blessing over his older brother, Manasseh. Immediately following the blessing of Ephraim and of Manasseh, his grandchildren then, Jacob called his 12 sons together. Genesis chapter 49 now, verses 1 and 2, describes what took place. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, "Gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in the days to come." Notice there's going to be a prophetic word that's going to come forth. Join together. I want you here around me right now so that we can hear not only what's happening at the moment, but what's about to happen. "Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel." Now remember that Jacob's name was changed after the wrestling with the angel that we read about in the book of Genesis. And from that moment on, his name was called Israel. One by one, in birth order then, Jacob spoke words of prophetic blessing over his sons, starting with Reuben, Reuben being the eldest, then to Simeon and to Levi and to Judah. He blessed Zebulun and to Issachar, and then to Dan and Gad and Asher and Naphtali and Joseph, all the way down to Benjamin, the very youngest. And the Bible says this in verse 28. All of these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. Jacob loved all 12 of his sons, and the Bible says he blessed each and every one of them accordingly. It wasn't one blessing that he pronounced over the whole family. He pronounced a unique and special blessing to each and every one of his 12 sons, starting with the eldest, which is Reuben, all the way down to the youngest, which was Benjamin. Now, the word that is used there to bless in the Hebrew is berak, which means to adore or to bend on knee. But it also means much, much more than that. It also means to transfer or to confer a gift. So it literally means by blessing, You're conferring or you are transferring a gift to another. And so what Israel does in this moment, Jacob, what he does for not only his grandsons, but what he does for his 12 sons, he gives each and every one of them a very unique and special blessing. Not in general, but very specific. And we're going to find and discover that his words are not only words that are meaningful at the moment, but they're prophetic towards the future. And so the Bible says he blessed them. He conferred on them, transferred to them a very special gift through blessing. Came across a story the other day about a blessing. Charlie was a regular visitor to the racetrack. One afternoon, he noticed an unusual sight. Right before the first race, a Catholic priest visited one of the horses in the stable and gave it a blessing. Charlie watched the race very carefully, and sure enough, the blessed horse came in first. Charlie followed the priest before the next race, and again he went to the stables and performed a similar procedure. Charlie played a hunch and put a couple of dollars on the blessed horse. Sure enough, the blessed horse came in by two lengths ahead, and Charlie won close to $50 now with his $2. And the priest continued the same procedure through the next few races. Charlie won each and every time. It was now that he was ahead by $1,000, so between races, Charlie left the track and went to the bank, and he withdrew his life savings of $20,000. The biggest race of the day was going to be the last one. Charlie followed the priest and watched carefully which horse he blessed. Then he went to the betting window and put down the whole $21,000 bundle of cash on that horse to win. Then Charlie went out excitedly to watch the race. Down the stretch they came, and as they crossed the finish line, the horse Charlie's future was bet on was dead last. Charlie was crushed. He located the priest and told him that he had been watching him bless all the horses that day and that all became winners with the exception of the last horse, which he had bet his entire life savings on. Charlie then asked, "What happened to the last horse which you blessed? Why didn't he win like the others?" To which the priest replied, "That was no blessing. That was last rites." In Jacob's day, people understood the tremendous power of one spoken word. Friends, our words carry with them life-altering power. The Bible supports this very important truth. We read about it in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, which says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Notice it says, both life and death are in the power of the tongue. And he that loves this is going to eat the fruit thereof. I think all of us at one time or another have had to eat our words. And so that is what it's saying. It is saying that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if we're not careful, we're going to end up eating our own words one day. You see, friends, blessings are far more than just a lot of hot air. Blessings are real, tangible entities, as we discovered last week. Abraham received exactly what God said he would receive when he blessed him. Abraham, in turn, then blessed his son Isaac. Isaac blessed his son Jacob. Jacob, in turn, blessed his 12 sons. And if you read on in Scripture, you'll discover that Jacob's 12 sons blessed their children as well. You need to understand, as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, we have been blessed to bless, not to hoard and keep to ourselves, but we have been blessed to bless. You know, the evidence of a generation that is desirous of blessing is all around us. You know, when you think about some of the blessings that take place, let me just describe a few of them, because there are so many. And I believe that each one of these is evidence of the fact that men and women realize the blessing of the Lord makes a difference. Therefore, every spring, before, you know, the weather really clears up and it's warm enough to be riding your bike, there's the blessing of the bikes. And so they'll bring their Harleys and their Hondas and their you know, all of their other bikes. They will bring them all, put them on a church parking lot, and a priest or a pastor will come out and will pronounce a blessing, and they call it the blessing of the bikes. You have seen it on television. They also have the blessing of the cars. And I know a few cars that need blessing, amen? And the blessing of the fleet before they leave port and go out for the, you know, the fishing season of Alaska and like, they will take and have a blessing of the fleet. And they have the blessing of the animals and the blessing of the baskets every Easter season. So I believe whether it's the blessing of the fleet or the basket or the bikes, there is something in the inside of man's heart and life that craves the blessing of God. And not only craves the blessing of God, but desires the blessing of God in very specific areas of their life. You know, when you think about it, we ask God to bless our food, to bless our day, to bless our jobs, to bless our finances, and that's all well and good and we ought. However, why is it that sometimes we fail to bless our children? I want you to consider with me for the next few moments this morning the power of a parent's blessing. First of all, I want you to see blessing brings affirmation. You know, the children that excel the greatest in life are those that are affirmed especially by their fathers. Test after test, you know, they've discovered that the children that do the best in life are the ones that feel like they've been affirmed, they've been encouraged, especially by their fathers. Children crave their parental approval. And that goes all throughout life. It does not stop at the age of 18 or 21. It continues on for a lifetime. There's something inside of us that we desire, we crave parental approval. You know, there are many times yet in life, even as old as I am now, and my father gone as many years as he's been gone, that I would love to hear my father say, "That's great, Jerry. I wish that he could be with us in the sanctuary today to see this facility. He died before this was built." Or I wish that he could have been with me, sitting alongside of me as Stephanie graduated from high school and college, and to walk down the aisle with my daughter at our youngest for her wedding. There's something about wanting to share that from generation to generation. When my father prayed for me and blessed me, friends, you need to understand, it personally meant more to me than when the presbytery of the Assemblies of God laid hands on me and ordained me to full-time ministry. Dad's approval always meant so much to me. During his lifetime, I valued his affirmation. Now, Dad, when you bless your children, you're affirming them and you're meeting a basic need in their life. When Isaac blessed Jacob, he said to his son, "Come near me, my son." You see, blessings have an endearment to it. And so when we read that account of Isaac, we read here of how he said, "Jacob, my son, come near to me. Come so that I can touch you." And Isaac touched him. "Come here, my son, so that I can kiss you." Friends, when you read the account, you discover that your children long for the blessing of affirmation. And deep inside of every one of our hearts and lives, we always wanted to make our parents proud. Even if we were raised in a dysfunctional family where there was all kinds of confusion and the like, there's something deep inside of all of us that crave and long for affirmation that it comes especially from our fathers. I want you to consider, secondly, the life-altering power of words. There's an old saying, and it is an old one, one that's not much used today, and yet I believe everyone here would probably remember hearing it a time or two or using it. And that is the old saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me." Not true. In reality, words can hurt worse than sticks. Physical bruises heal infinitely quicker than a bruised spirit. A father's words and a parent's word can encourage or discourage a child for an entire lifetime. Words like, you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything, I wish you were never born. Remember that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Bless your children. Parents, bless your children. Bless them with encouraging and affirming words. You can do it. I believe in you. You're bright, you're gifted, you're talented. You can do anything you put your mind to. No matter what happens in life, I want you to know this, son, daughter, I will always love you. No matter how you fall, I'll be the one that will be there not to stomp on you while you're down, but I'll be the one that will be there to help you back up. Approval. Words have an immense power to either cause destruction or to cause life and vitality. Thirdly, I want you to see the innate desire for approval. Deep inside of all of us, as I've mentioned, there is a longing for approval. And your approval as a parent and your blessing can serve as a very important confirmation to your son or daughter. When my father was living, my dad didn't place his approval on some things. And when he didn't place his approval upon it, I was very careful about proceeding because I valued his input, and I knew that he wanted the best for me. When I was called into the ministry, my dad did not concur. Matter of fact, he was very contrary to the idea of my pursuing my call to the ministry. And I remember the tug of war back and forth and back and forth, and I remember the day that I told him finally in the midst of the tug of war, Dad, I love you and I respect you. But in this matter, I must be obedient to my Heavenly Father. And I mean no disregard or disrespect to you. I love you and I will always respect you. However, in this matter, I must be obedient to my Heavenly Father. And there were some very difficult and hard, long months that followed after that. And I'll never forget the wonderful confirmation that I received the day when I went into my father's office at the family corporation. His office was in the back, and so as I entered into the office area there, he asked me to close the door, and so I closed the door. And he opened up his desk drawer. Now, you need to remember, I'm one of 11 children, and no matter what kind of a business you have, my father always believed in investing in others and trying to make everyone's life as good as possible. And so it was not a business that he took everything for himself or for a family. And so when I went into the room, he opened up the top desk drawer and he took out from underneath some paper there, 7 $100 bills that he had been saving. Now this was a long, long time ago. I won't tell you how long, but it was a long time ago. $700 was enough to pay for a semester of school. And so when he gave me the $700 that day, it was like saying, I concur, I approve, I bless you, and I want to be part of your future. At my credentialing service, my father was right there on the front row with me. When I introduced my wife, Sherry, to my father, he said to me, he said, you have found a good woman. I'm so grateful for the blessing and for the affirmation of my father in so many different situations and times of life. Parents, your children long for that in their lives. And if you're an adult today and your parents are still living, I don't care how old you are, and I don't care how old your parents are, or even how feeble they may be this day, there's something on the inside of all of us that craves affirmation that what we're doing is good and pleasing. But you know, I also discovered that the words there of Jacob to his 12 sons, they were a prophetic declaration. You see, woven into the blessing given by Jacob to his 12 sons was a prophetic word, a blessing that came directly from God. Jacob declared to each of his children what the Spirit had revealed unto him. This kind of blessing does not come from one's head, but comes out of one's heart, having spent time with God. And as parents, I believe with all of my heart this morning that we need to know the plans of God for our children, and then we need to unabashedly declare them in blessing over them. Your prophetic declaration will often affirm and will confirm your son or your daughter. I think it's fair to assume that Jacob's sons and grandchildren, they pondered the prophetic blessing they had received from their father and grandfather time and time and time again. In this room this morning, I believe as we've talked about affirmation, lack of affirmation, when we've talked about confirmation or the lack of confirmation, words that have been affirming, words that encourage you, or words that literally gutted you. You felt like the wind was knocked out of you. And though it was something that happened in your childhood years and years and years ago, it's still as real today as it was then. And you know firsthand the power of words and the power of a blessing and the power of something less than a blessing. And I believe in this room today, there are those that are here that long to be blessed. You say, there's a part of my life, there's a dimension to me, it's not working. And the reason why it's not working, it does not possess the blessing of the Lord over it. And I need God's blessing in that area of my life. And there's a craving, there's a longing. Just like there's a longing for affirmation from a physical father, there's a longing for an affirmation, a confirmation from your heavenly father that you're on the right path. And you hear his word say, you can do whatever I call you to do. And that there will be no mountain that will be able to stand in your way. It will become as level ground when you reach that mountain. It will not thwart my plan for your life. And there's something on the inside that's saying, thou'll never achieve what God has placed me on this planet for apart from the blessing of God on my life. And so you long for God's blessing this morning. And the reason why you're in God's house this very day is because inside of you there's a longing saying, I want the smile of God upon me. And I want his prophetic guidance and direction on my life. I'm going to give you that opportunity in just a moment. For every one of you that said yes to that in your spirit, I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to assure and to know that that affirmation and confirmation has come from God to your life. And others of you are saying, you know, I need to learn how to bless. I need to learn how to be a blessing to, especially my own family. You know, many times the ones that we love the most and spend the most time with are the very ones that, sad to say, are the ones we take for granted. And some of the worst conversations, some of the worst words ever spoken come out of those moments. You're saying, I wish I could redo. We can't take them back, but we can start piling on the blessing until the blessing becomes so great that the other is no longer consequential. And so it's a time of new beginning and saying, I want to bless. And I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning. For the last 5 months, we've not had a forward moving altar call. But today I'm going to invite you. And I'm going to ask you, please, when you come, we have no marks on the floor like they do at Target or somewhere else. You know, 6 foot, this, that, and the other thing. I'm simply asking you to come, and if you come as a family unit, you be as tight as you like with one another. But I'm asking you, please, keep enough space so that We do things according to some of the mandates and some of the best practices that are out there. But I want you to experience God at the altar today. I believe that lives are altered at the altar. And there's no place like being in the presence of God. Now I've asked the worship team to do a special song today, The Blessing. And if you're in the house today and you're saying, I need the blessing of God in a dimension of my life. Something's missing there, and I need God's smile, His approval on that area of my life. I want you to come, and I want you to just line up all the way across over here. Let's be as sensitive one to another as possible. And others of you today, you're saying, I want to bless my family. And maybe you want to just start it here and you're going to live it out a little later on. You're going to call him just like Jacob called his son, come near. And he embraced them, put his arms about him, and he loved on him. And the son kissed the father and the father kissed the son. The song that you're about to hear comes out of Numbers chapter 6. Here's what the word of the Lord says. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I want you just in these next few moments, allow God to affirm you. And I want you to learn this morning what it means to be a blessing. I want you to this day reach out and be a blessing to your family. And we'll close in a couple of moments. But listen to the words of this song. Join along. They'll put the words on the screens. Christ be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. You have been called to be more than victorious through Him who loved you and gave Himself for you. When you're climbing up the mountain, He's right there to give you a little lift. When you're in the valley low, He's trying to lift you up higher. He's before you, He's behind you, He's inside of you, and He wants to bless you, and He wants to bless your family. He wants to give you strength and vitality. When I read in 3 John, it tells us, my wish for you, my prayer for you is this, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul doth prosper. And I'm believing that for you this day. And that your year of school and your education is going to be blessed of God. And there is no mountain will be able to stand in your way. God is going to work on your behalf. It's good to be the children of the Most High. Amen. Hallelujah. God's got big plans and good plans for His sons and His daughters. Numbers chapter 6, one more time. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. Let the blessing of the Lord be upon your life. Let the keeping power of the Lord be on you. The Lord make His face to shine on you, meaning you see the smile of God, His approval on your life, and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Hallelujah. You know, the peace of God that passeth all human understanding, that's reserved for those that walk with Him. And if you've never given your life to Christ, this is a wonderful time and a wonderful day to do it. And this is a season that I believe God is calling in the final ranks of the redeemed. The door of the ark is about to close, but I believe this is a moment where He's saying, come into the ark. If you want to come, you come, come, come. But there's a day that's coming when He'll say, go. Go away from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you're not. I want to be in the come side. Amen? I want to be amongst those who says, come on in. And, you know, if you're not in that relationship with God, I want to give you that opportunity right now, because that's the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. More important than who you marry, though who you marry is incredibly important. What your job is, all of these things that we consider so important in life, the most important of all is to know your relationship with God, which is often referred to as having peace with God. And so I want to pray for you. Bow your heads, please. Just a sacred moment all over the room. How many would say today, Pastor, as you're praying for a relationship with God, will you pray for me? I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but I want to get back there to where I'm headed, where I want to be. I want you just to pray for me. Just wave a hand at me. Will you do that all over the room? Yes. Thank you. I want to pray for you today. Father, I pray for all of these friends that have just said they want to get on the path of blessing, the path that's going to lead to eternal life. I pray, Lord, that you will just guide them, Lord, all life long. Lord, as they've made that decision of their heart today, Lord, we're so glad that when we ask for forgiveness, you give it to us. So just say, Lord, forgive me for all of what's been in the past. I want the past to be the past, and I'm going to start a brand new path with you today. Lord, guide me, direct me, bless me. And I pray, Lord, the blessing of the Lord to be upon each one of these individuals, upon every father here today that's going to go off and parent. Not only the fathers, the parents that are going to bless their children. Lord, I pray that there would be a strategic time. Lord, I pray in this moment, Lord, give us that moment right now. Help us, Lord, to be determined. We're going to seize the day. Carpe diem. We're going to seize the moment to release the blessing of the Lord upon the precious ones that our sons and daughters and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So thank you, Lord, for the opportunity Help us, Lord, to have insights from heaven. They're yours. You're the one that created them within the womb. You had a plan for them even before they were born. And so I ask, Lord, that the blessing of the Lord be upon, Lord, families today as they bless. Remind them, Lord, that it's not just a lot of hot air. It's a real deal. And I pray the blessing of the Lord to go forth from your people to your people. And may we be the blessers of our community. When we walk into the job tomorrow, I pray that the blessing comes with us and that we release the blessing of the Lord everywhere we go. Let the fragrance of Christ be the scent about our lives. And so we're going to thank you now for a great day and a great evening, Lord, as we gather together our outdoor service at 6 o'clock. We're going to thank you now for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God's best. We love you. Have a marvelous day in the Lord and an Overcomer's Week.